Welcome to this week's Monday meeting. Today is May 6th, 2024, and Monday meetings are a chance for motion designers from all around the globe to connect, ask questions, share inspiration, and engage in industry-leading artists on a level playing field. Wow, can't talk today. I'm your host, Jen Van Horn, and today we'll be discussing NAB because last week got away from us, but that's the beauty of this podcast. You know, sometimes different topics, they take priority and they spark up when they need to. So I'm excited to get back to talking about NAB and a little bit about the Beeple Deathmatch, which just happened last weekend, which was pretty fun to watch. Yeah, as always, if you have a question, please use the raise your hand button in Zoom to be called on. If you're unable to ask your question, please ask it in the chat and we will ask it for you. And this call will be recorded. If you have any concerns about anything said on the call, just let us know and we'll make sure to edit it out for the podcast release. And a few opening topics. Thank you so much to our Patreon supporters. We are coming up with ideas to make that experience more exciting and maybe do some tiers for our supporters. Pretty psyched about changes coming to our Patreon. So stay tuned or sign up if you haven't yet. Every little bit helps us keep the lights on. Also, Mickey Midwest is coming up this month. If you haven't got tickets yet, that's going to be a really cool event. And that one is in the Midwest, obviously. Also, Mother's Zomograph, the merch store is officially open just in time for Mother's Day. If you want to support Mother's Zomograph, check that out. We will have that link in the show notes. And yeah, and we're open for co-hosts and topics, our guest spots too. If there's anything that you want to hear about that's maybe motion adjacent, you know, we're trying to make this as different as possible. You know, I feel like a lot of these podcasts, we have all the same advice for a lot of things, but it's kind of cool. We can get outside a little bit of what motion is in because it's not just, you know, advertising and corporate stuff. It's really all over the map. So love to talk with more guests about, you know, other ways that you can be offering services for your motion stuff. So really anyone that wants to talk about NAB, did anyone go to NAB on this call? I see a few. Yes. We have Matthew, Michael, Mark. So that's good. Hopefully a few more people trickle in that did go to NAB. Did anyone go to the Beeple Deathmatch on this call? I wonder if those people are just like recuperating too. And maybe that's why they're not on the call because it just happened. For those of you who weren't following along, Josh Brockett won the whole thing and he's kind of a sleeper. I don't know Josh. So, but congrats to that. I know second place was Mello. So that was pretty cool. But a lot of our friends were there and competing. I also was pleased to see a decent amount of women that were there. Some were competing, but a lot of spectators. And it's just nice to see because I know a lot of people that didn't go because they were worried it was going to be kind of a bro fest, which I mean, it is. But, you know, it's just nice to see a little bit more representation, too, with those events. So that was exciting. I was excited to see a decent amount of women show up to that. It makes me want to go next time for sure. It looks like a lot of fun. It looked kind of overstimulating with all the screens because everything is just covered in screens. But yeah, I love you know, death match is like the best term in the world. It just makes me super psyched. All right, cool. Well, I mean, getting into NAB, I can start too. It was my first year going. And I knew it was going to be pretty much like a lot, but I teamed up with Casey Smith, which is nice because we've been besties for a couple of years and we were able to stay at my aunt's place. So it felt a little less immersed into it. So we had a place to like go and take a nap and, you know, recuperate before the parties at night. So that was fantastic. And I'm definitely going to do that again. Again, but now that I like gone for the first time, now I can actually have a game plan. I feel like when I went, it was mostly about reconnecting with the people I already knew from Camp Mograph and Dash Bash. So that was really nice to get to connect with people like my conference friends. So it kind of does feel like a summer camp when you go to those things. And yeah, and also connecting with the Maxon crew was really great. Since I'm going to be presenting at SIGGRAPH, I'm really excited to connect with those guys. You know, shout out to Michael. He's awesome. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm just going to start calling on people then if no one's going to raise your hands because I'm in that kind of mood. But Mark, do you want to jump in and talk about how your NAB experience was? Because I know you presented.
Yeah, it was good. I this was the first time I've ever presented anything about motion graphics, really. So that was a learning experience for me of just trying to like actually teach my workflow. And I did a presentation for Maxon and Cinema 4D, but specifically for my workflow and using takes and layers and how I use all that for doing like product viz stuff, product renders. And it was good. It's really interesting when you have to like break stuff down and like explain your thought process, which everyone always talks about that, but I've never had to like actually do it myself. So when putting together this presentation, it was a little eye opening of like, oh, okay, I do this thing because now I need to explain that. And so it was all good. I did two of them along with different demo stations and stuff like that. But the first presentation I did was right after the computer crashed. So I didn't have my like project file on the new machine. And so my first presentation, I was just kind of freestyling it. I had my PowerPoint, but I didn't have my like pre-made Cinema files. So sorry for anyone who watched that. Honestly, the one thing that I took away from NAB, and I've been to maybe like five of them over the years. I haven't been since pre-pandemic. But one thing I found this year was it seemed to me like the entire industry outside of motion, just the whole production industry and post-production industry has taken a collective deep breath, and everyone's still holding that breath and doesn't know what's about to happen. And there's a lot of FUD, like fear, uncertainty, and doubt of like what is to come in the next 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously with all the AI stuff and all the writer strikes, and there's just so much change in our production world that we haven't had to really deal with at this feverishly or this fever pace, essentially. You know, like, it's crazy how much has like changed even in the last year. Right. And so like, I was actually a bit surprised that I didn't feel like NAB was just like plastered with AI. Like, I thought it was just going to be like AI, this AI, that AI, this AI, that. And certainly there was some of that, but luckily it was not everything. Now, the one thing that I will give Maxon credit for, well, more than one thing, but there were other content companies there that definitely were flying the AI flag. And I was really interested with that because, like, I understand it's emerging technology. It's here to stay, really. But like, as a company that's trying to have content creators and creatives use their product, to be flying the AI flag of like, hey, it's so much easier, or like, oh, you can get in and out in like 2 seconds now. Like, in a way, it's like, what would be the right analogy? But like, they're essentially selling they're selling the service that's going to take you out. Right. Or like, I don't know. I want to say like snake oil type stuff, but that's not the right analogy. But anyway, it's almost like cannibalizing its own ecosystem, you know? So anyway, I just thought it was different than any NAB I'd been to, with just that collective deep breath. No one really knows what the next year will look like. Mm-hmm. And everyone, you know, and outside of the AI and all the tech, I mean, again, I'll say it, like the global economy, the lingering wars, there's all these things that are at play that like are really, I would say, kind of the foundation of a lot of this FUD is just like the uncertainty in the world. It's not just our industry. And then you couple on the industry and the AI and all the emerging tech. Everyone's like, what the fuck is about to happen? We don't know. So that was kind of like the vibe I got. And it was just different. I feel like the excitement wasn't there. I mean, the excitement of just like, yeah, we're all together. Woo. Like, that was there. But like the excitement of like, what's to come and the new cameras and this, that. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, do we need cameras in 3 years? Or are you going to just put in a prompt now? Like, what is the fucking deal? And so, I don't know. I would be really curious to see what happens at SIGGRAPH. I know that's a little bit different conference in terms of like the attendees, but I'm just really curious to see like if this kind of uncertainty runs across other conferences and it truly starts emerging as kind of like the overarching feeling of this industry. So that was just my takeaway. Sorry to ramble, but there were some great parties. There were some great events. I had a blast meeting a lot of you and a lot of other people from the industry I'd never met. So if you came up to me and we met, or if I didn't meet you, I'm sorry. But just the community aspect too is always the best part. So
I think that's probably why I wanted to really more connect with people I already knew. There was a safety there. There's a comfort there. Because, yeah, there was sort of like this unspoken mad scramble to cover your ass with AI. I feel like everyone was feeling that. I did get to break away a little bit. I got to see Jamila Jamil's talk on authenticity. I got to see some talks for social media content creators, including a talk with a lawyer for content creation, because there's still weird, iffy stuff with AI and copyright. Yeah. And stuff. And so I thought that was really interesting. I got to see Ian Robinson do some After Effects stuff. I got to see some color correction and Premiere. So it's nice. I got to find my little pockets of time.
Yeah, you know, I see what Michael put in the chat, and I just want to kind of, you know, push that to the top and make sure everyone who's just listening hears that too. There's so many of our tools that already do AI quote unquote stuff. Now it's just kind of like, okay, let's change all of our messaging to now say AI. And it was almost maybe a little misleading there too, of like, well, this is shit you've already had in your stuff, and now you're kind of switching your messaging to fit the bill. So anyway, you know, take also, all that AI stuff with a grain of salt, I guess.
It's still not even there yet. I had to mask 32 photos of like selfies yesterday for my cooking channel, because it still can't mask out my hair correctly. There's still big like ghost opacity patches all through my hair every time I do an auto select tool. So I'm sorry, it's not there yet. So I'm really, really sick of seeing all these magical, you know, tools that are doing these really great generative fills. I'm like, really? Because it does not look like that for me when I
And to be honest, really quick too, I see Matt's got his hand up, so I'll stop talking. But I did have some just incredible conversations with people. And like the one thing about this NAB too was I felt like, even though it wasn't as like, it seemed like it wasn't as big, like not as many people were there, even though it's massive, I still had some really great, like in-depth conversations with people to really, I feel like, either get a better sense of where artists are, where companies are, but also to make me feel like I'm not alone in this crazy fucking industry world that we are in now. Like, we're all feeling it, you know? And so, if anything, that was a little bit of a comfort too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Matt, you have your hand up.
Oh yeah. Michael's saying like, it's almost half the size as pre-pandemic.
And that makes sense.
The pandemic, 120,000 people. I mean, it's fucking massive, as you all know, but it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, Matt, I can't hear you. All right. Well, Michael, do you want to talk about NAB and how your experience was being a Maxon person?
Oh, shit. I wanted to say, like, I have presented live once before, and I was going to ask if anyone who has presented, do you like black out during your presentation and then only like wake up after?
Yes.
1,000%.
100%.
I have no idea what I talked about, and I'm not going to watch the fucking replay either.
I had to watch mine back, it was fine. But my experience this year, I was just doing demos on the little demo stations out back. And it was, I think one of the big things I noticed that what made me realize some of the stuff I need to do personally is that so many people were mind blown by a simple little thing that has been in the tools for so long. And they've had this tool at their fingertips, but like just never reached for it. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, the tool is Universe Line. It's the easiest way to get a little arrow you know, you pick a spot, point A, point B, and you animate a little slider and you get an arrow moving. And so many people have struggled to do that in After Effects, or, you know, it's impossible in Premiere Pro, but Universal Line gives you that. And everyone was like, what? Like, I had someone nearly in tears because they spent so much time trying to do arrows in After Effects and it was right there. And they had Universe tools. They had all the Red Giant tools right there. And they're like, but I could have been doing this the whole time. Like, you just see like the hours of their life and their eyes draining away. So I'm just like, I've got it. Like, sharing your workflow with people can, especially if you've got little time signatures, like I don't even think about it because it's just like, oh yeah, obviously everyone knows this tool is there, but not everyone does. So for anyone else, anytime you have a chance to show any piece of your workflow, you never know what part of your workflow that is so mundane and normal and boring to you is going to be mind blowing to someone else because they just didn't know that tool existed. And it was just such a blast because I love playing with visual effects and color grading and motion design and being able to show off like my little workflow tips to everyone who came up to the demo station. It was just so much fun to do. I always like to check like what someone does for their job. And then I would then show them stuff, you know, that was related to it. Like I was one group of folks who did, I think it was an Atlanta based soccer team. And they were, so I was just like doing, all right, let's do some sports promos. And it was just a ton of fun. But I just want to say the one thing I took away from NAB this year was this duck.
Oh, I love it. I have a yo-yo somewhere. Someone had a yo-yo as their merch. That was pretty cool. And I got some After Effects pins. I have so many After Effects pins already. The merch is fun. I agree with the workflow thing. I think, and I didn't really start doing this until I was doing more like collab stuff. Like I did that retro poster collab last month. And I did like a breakdown of sort of like my workflow and how I figured out how to do it. And yeah, it's harder than I thought. Trying to like talk people through like, yeah, this is just how I do it. It's, oh no, I have to explain why. And even watching Ian Robinson's stuff, like he was throwing out hot tools or hot keys that I had no idea in After Effects that could have saved me time. Like the one where you put, you could select like position and then throw a keyframe down, like just with a shortcut. I had no idea that was a thing. So that kind of blew my mind, which was fun. That's probably the best thing I got from NAB were some of those hot key tips that I really should be implementing. It was weird that out of the few conferences that I've been to, I didn't really leave inspired. And I think it was because of, yeah, there was that weird blanket of everyone kind of freaking out. I felt comforted by seeing my friends, but it wasn't really what I expected to get out of NAB, which sounds like it wasn't the norm anyway. So Mark, you want to jump in? Or Michael, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, EJ in the chat says he thinks it's a bit of paralysis choice. People are overwhelmed by the amount of tools available through a giant with a deadline. They just go with what they know. And that is true. That's why I always tell people, all your tools, not just Red Giant, but I know the resources there for it. If you have any time at all and you have Red Giant tools already, there's a quick series on Cineversity that just goes through what all the tools are. It's getting started in Universe. It's like a minute, you know, like a minute or 7 minutes per section. It goes through all the different tools. Just watch it. Because you never know what tools are going to be in there that would save you so much time and you're already paying for them. So just watch that. It's like an hour long, maybe. Just watch through it. You never know which tool is going to save you time when you need it down the road.
Yeah, and I bring that up because at my last job as animation supervisor, I was pushing people to like go through that stuff. I'm like, hey, we have Cineversity. You know, like it's a thing you can watch. And it's like, it comes down to like, I have an hour to deliver this. Do I spend the next hour going through figuring out if this does work and watching this tutorial that's from 3 years ago, that stuff may have been moved and it may not be effects. And they just usually opt. They're like, well, I know I can do this in 40 minutes and just make it in time. And then just they stay in the same cycle over and over again, basically.
I do that. I'm definitely guilty of brute forcing it because I know exactly how I'm going to get it done. But then I always find out later, and it's always in the back of my head, like I have a Pinterest board pretty much of like 500 tutorials of stuff that like when I have time, I should do. But unless I schedule it, actually, it's hard for me to just jump on.
I'll admit there's so many things in Red Giant that I'll watch it and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm going to use this. And then I'll forget that it exists because it's not retained in my head. And then I also fall into those loops as well.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited for my SIGGRAPH talk. I'm trying to do different like a time-based, like a historic kind of thing where there's different eras. And so I'm excited to get into universe and figure out like which effects make sense for which era. So I can kind of showcase a few different things. So I get to play, and that's really fun for me because I never really just get to play.
And I'm very happy to chat with you about that as well. Yeah. If you want to,
you're going to be my Maxon spirit guide. We've decided. Mark, jump on in.
Yeah, actually this kind of goes along with what EJ and Michael were saying too. And something that I had to remind myself about giving the presentation, and something that I guess I love about our industry, is there's 100 ways to do the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And like, I was like super nervous about like giving my presentation and all, but I had to just keep telling myself like, there's 100 ways to do it. This is how I do it. Maybe someone will resonate with it. You know, maybe someone will understand it the way I'm explaining it. But you know, just like Red Giant and animating an arrow. Okay. You have that way of doing it. You have your brute force way of doing it. Like, and so it's just, I think it's so cool. And that's what I love about watching a lot of these breakdown presentations and stuff too, is like, you might know exactly how to use takes, but the way I did it, you're like, oh wait, you don't have to turn on the override. You don't have to do this. You don't have to, like, just certain things that, you know, your brain might register better, you know? And so I say that too for you, Jen, like preparing your thing, like there's no right way to do a presentation, right? There's no right way to do your workflow. It's just how you do it. And like, yeah, maybe there is the most optimized way for like to save the, you know, 5 milliseconds off each frame, but like just get it done and get it out the door. Right. And so, just keeping that in mind, I think really helped me, putting this thing together and like kind of get my imposter syndrome out. Because first of all, I went up like my first one, I was right after EJ Hasenfratz, right? Like iDesign. And then my second one, I went right after Jags, and these guys do like fucking tutorial. This is what they do. Yeah. So I was very like intimidated, like getting up after them, because they're so well spoken and can really explain their thought process and workflow quite well. So yeah, I was nervous, but I had to just remind myself, this is just the way I do it. Someone can do it differently, and that's not wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's definitely in the last 4 years has been a thing too. The more that I post online, that imposter syndrome is really crazy, especially like when I started like releasing courses. I was like, okay, well, but is this the right way? And then, yeah, you're right. There's a million ways to do it. Everyone has a different workflow. And my mantra for my entire life is normalize changing my opinion when presented with well-researched new information. So every time I get new tips or new advice, I'm able to sort of like pivot sort of the way I do it. And that's what's so exciting about this industry is everyone has something cool that they want to geek out about. And I love talking workflow. And I love talking just being optimizing your time, being organized, productivity, that whole bit. Like it's really fun for me. It gets me excited. Like if I see a new spreadsheet, oh my God, it's so happy. Cons, jump in. Cons actually went to NAB and Deathmatch for at Beeple Studios too. So I'm excited you're here.
Yeah, for first time joining in at 10 a.m. over here. Geez.
Yeah. Charles. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, NAB was a trip. It was my first time, so I thought I'd share my experience a little bit. Definitely, if you have not gone, I highly recommend it. Just from like all the obvious things, from just getting to hang out with everybody, all the faces, meeting people in person, it was really cool. I took my brother, who's like a camera guy. I was like, oh, I'm going to check out some cool stuff you might be interested in. And sure enough, like he had a blast. He was able to tour me around like the camera stuff, which I would have totally went over my head. And I've been getting a little more interested in that stuff. So it was like really helpful to be able to kind of dig around in that stuff and check out kind of like what, you know, what new After Effects, Maxon stuff, the Fusion stuff was kind of blowing me away, what they were doing in, around in Black Magic and stuff. But besides all that, what was really interesting to me, I'm like trying to do, I've mentioned it before, where like I'm trying to figure out how to do some like B2B stuff. And there was this interesting thing where, you know, the current process of like trying to figure out how to like communicate with like potential leads and all this and that, in, you know, in my regular daily workflow is like, you know, it takes a lot of strategy and like time just to be able to like land a meeting, to have a potential lead, to kind of like do a little bit of like market research and figure out all that stuff, you know, and then just to get that 15 minute conversation, you know? And so it's like, takes like 2 weeks just to kind of get, you know, to practice, right? To whereas at NAB, I was just like being, just putting myself out there and just like hitting up everybody and just like, you know, almost for no reason except to practice, sometimes trying to just sell motion, you know, but just booth by booth, you know what I mean? Like, oh, what are you guys up to? Oh, how could motion function in your workflow? You know? And like, even if it's like, oh, this isn't going to be a realistic lead, it's like having that practice was actually like, I found really valuable and ended up kind of scoring some potential leads out of it anyway, you know? So
that's cool. Awesome. Yeah. Cause that's the thing about those big conferences too. It's not just motion. So you have that opportunity to, you know, excite other people about motion that really it's not their area. So that's exciting. I was just, I don't know if I want to say I wasn't brave enough, but I just wasn't in the right headspace, which sucked because I was kind of hoping I would like, you know, give away more stickers and meet a little bit more people outside of my industry. But did you say it was your first time going to NAB or cons?
First time.
That's amazing.
In a scramble, I have like a fun story to share. In a scramble, I was like, I should probably have a business card if I'm going to try to hustle a little bit. And I like printed a card and I was showing it to Derek, one of the presenters. And he was like, oh, that's cool. And I was like, yeah, it's like, it's an Octane render or whatever. And the thing about the design, I was like, it's going to be a cheap ass card. So I was like, I'm going to make an image of like my desk with my business, with like a cool business card on it. So this is a tribute to my business card, not the actual card, the tenacious for anybody there. But yeah, so it was like fun just to be able to like, identify kind of like the weak point in terms of like, if I'm showing this and I do 3D graphics right away, I'm like, okay, I need to like explain what that is, right? This isn't just a photo. And so like that first night I went back and uploaded my project file straight to my iPad. And I had like people playing around on my iPad with the live Octane viewport and like doing rack focusing and stuff like that. So like kind of thinking about like on the fly, like how to strategize and like, you know, sell 3D, sell motion, kind of communicate with people. So just kind of like a fun story there too.
No, I love that.
You can bring
try Octane for iPad.
Nice.
I was just saying, anytime you can bring your digital 3D stuff in a sort of tactile way is great. Like being able to have that there. So, oh, I make 3D, let me show you. And they can touch it is great. It was one of the neat things about the Maxon booth. They had a little 3D printer there with a little Geo robot there printing, which was super cool.
Yeah, that guy was really cute. I was seeing Kevin running around with that guy. Elise, jump on in.
Thank you. Speaking of business cards, I haven't been to a conference in a few years. And are business cards still a huge thing? Or are people, I've seen like digital business cards, they're just kind of like tapping on their phone, getting your info. What's the vibe like?
I think you should do both of the things. Yeah. Because like when they go to unpack after the trip, boom, out come this pile of business cards and they're like, oh yeah, I need to get with these people. And then they put the little pile of business cards right there on their desk for them to get back with them later. Or there might be the person who doesn't deal with those, tosses them out as soon as they get to the hotel room, but they'll have that digital copy to go back to later when they remember they wanted to talk to you about something. So I think both is the way to go.
Also, I had my my Instagram on the back of my stickers and my name was on my sticker. So I feel like people are less likely to throw out a sticker versus a business card. So, but I think one of the best advice, piece of advice that I've ever gotten on a business card is leave plenty. I'll get all the stickers on Michael's keyword. That's amazing. Best advice I've ever gotten was leave a lot of white space because some people like to take notes on like what you talked about, or anything that they want to follow up with. So something to think about, having like the one side have some, you know, creative visual and then on the backside, just your information and then a lot of white space. Matthew, did you say it's still not working, your mic? Oh, that's too bad. I am so sorry.
He did say in the chat they had storms for the weekend. Mike is fried. As a video producer primarily, Matt is looking to widen Matt's horizons by learning some 3D and motion to add to their toolkit. It's been wonderful surrounding themselves with people who are smarter than they are. I also had the privilege of meeting one of their cinematography idols, Hollywood DP Shane Hurlburt. Amazing person. Glad it's cool you got to meet them. So that's really cool. So yeah. Oh, also Matt says that Jen is a great singer.
Oh, well, Matt is no, also Matt, a very good
Matt's
singer.
Matt's a great singer, man. That karaoke party went down.
Let's call him Matt the Knife, right?
Oh my gosh.
Mac the Knife.
Opening with what was it? Like Coco Cabana or something was like one of the opening songs that Matt did. Like that was so much fun. Yeah, that's let's talk about the parties. The parties were great. Tom's Urban was the School of Motion Rive party, which is, I remember someone saying there'd be food. There was not food. I'm really glad I pre-gamed because I did not see food in sight. That was crowded. That was fun though. I had fun at that party. I ran into someone I worked with in LA. He was a camera operator that I hadn't talked to in a decade. So that was crazy just running into him randomly at a motion design party, which he's not really a motion designer. I think he came with a friend. So I thought that was pretty sweet. And then also the next night that was the karaoke party with MoGraph.com and EJ, and that was awesome. Multiple rooms going of karaoke. I will say that first room, I don't know, we rocked it. We had a lot of people in that room. That was a lot of fun. And then the Max on Pinball party, like the following night, which was really crazy because it's my first time to the Pinball Hall of Fame. And I was kind of running around trying to find the old like Simpsons cabinet game because that was like my jam when I was a kid, and found it. And then it was, I know it was Erica and I think Andy the Timid were playing it, and they were like, we're about to beat it, like jump on. And so like I jumped on, and then someone else jumped on, and then we ended up beating the game within like 2 minutes of the place closing. And we were just like, that was like the highlight, one of the biggest highlights. It's like, we finally beat the Simpsons game. That was so much fun. It wasn't what I expected either. I don't know. Like I didn't realize it was like a warehouse of games. Like that was pretty fun. And then I ended up flying home the next day because I couldn't stay another day. I was there for 5 days. That's a lot. Sarah, jump on in.
Yeah. One of the, I don't know if anyone else made it to the AI filmmaking party. I can't remember which night it was. What they did is they had it in an esports venue, and they had like a prompting competition. So they had like two people, and they would say, you know, a random prompt. And then those two people would have to make the prompt with AI. And my takeaway from this is that AI is just not as great as even I thought having used it, because I'm watching them make these prompts and I'm, you know, talking to another motion designer and we're just like, we could have sketched it faster.
Yeah.
And granted, it would be a rough sketch, but like it would be more close to what the prompt was and a better representation of the idea. So I don't know. That was my takeaway from it. It was also interesting to see how similar. Like there's two different people and it was a rotating, you know, like they were some kind of bracketing situation and people were, so it was always different people prompting, but what they came up with looked just shockingly similar. Like both screens looked so much the same, even with different people. So I don't know. That was pretty interesting to see. It made me feel a lot better about having human talents.
Yeah. Like a little bit safer. Like I said, I call BS on a lot of these things that I'm seeing online. I'm like, no, I don't think that was the first thing that popped up. I think this is like the 800th. It looks really good. And you filmed that part. But yeah, I call BS. And also Mark in the chat, shout out to Erica Anderson. I met Erica. It was her first time in Vegas. It was her first time at a conference, her first time presenting. Like she went for it, and her presentation was really cool because I don't really do 3D. So a lot of the Maxon presentations were 3D, but what Erica did is she was working with not just trap code, but also native particles in After Effects and how you can loop them. And that it was probably like one of the coolest things I've seen, because that is frustrating as hell to me, is looping particle systems. So it was cool to see her workflow on that. And also she helped me I helped her beat Simpsons. So she's very cool. EJ, jump in.
I had a question. For Mark, Hans, Michael, even you, Jen, as someone who's trying to figure out how to prioritize events, because it feels like every single month there's an event. Would some of you go back? I know, Mark, you said you've been there, what, 5 times already? Has it been worth it every single year? Has it been more worth it some years than others? Is it just a thing you would just keep going back to overall?
Mark, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I'll answer that. So that's a great question. I think in my first years of going to NAB, it's what got my foot into the door of this kind of industry and community. It's where I met Barton Damer for the first time, EJ Hasenfratz for the first time, like just people from walking by the booth and like various other, like Matthias and various other Maxon employees. And that was great. I very much enjoyed that, and it made me feel part of the community kind of right off the bat. And I think Maxon still does a great job of that. But I would say this, if you're looking to advance your career, I would say there are probably better opportunities and conferences out there where you're going to get more time and more kind of juice out of it by just spending quality time with some people. NAB is so big and so overwhelming in Vegas. And it's just like, you're just go, 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 that sometimes it's hard to like kind of slow down and really like have deep, meaningful conversations. And this is not a plug for Camp Mograph, but it's a plug for Camp Mograph.
It's a plug for
you know, but essentially like and this is my true feeling, and whether I was running camp or not, that like being able to come together with like-minded individuals and like talk about real shit mm-hmm. is what's going to make your career progress. You're not going to, in those conversations, yeah, you might talk about software and little things, but you're going to talk about business. You're going to talk about life balance. You're going to talk about all these other things that like are a lot harder, I would say, to quote unquote learn than any sort of technical thing that you can watch a tutorial and click some buttons and make it. So yeah. I just think the networking side of it with other artists, with studio owners, with agency owners, with people who work at agencies or in-house at client, potential clients, having those conversations, I firmly believe would catapult your professional career much further than attending a trade show where you're just walking by booths, looking at technology, seeing a couple presentations. I think really just trying to immerse yourself into the experience of it and really deep dive into it would be the best case scenario for like spending money going to a conference. And I think camp offers that. I think Dash Bash probably offers that. Mm-hmm. I've never been to Dash, but like some of the ones that are, it's a tight community and people want to be there and want to learn. The thing with NAB is you have a lot of people that are just fucking sales reps that are there trying to sell new software and shit. So it's, yeah, I see Neil. What up?
Hey, Neil.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think as us, as artists and creatives, like the talk that we get to have with others is why you go to this stuff.
Yeah. I'll say I went last year. The two I went to was Dash Bash and Camp Mograph. And mm-hmm. even while Dash Bash was amazing, it was very limited time to have engaging conversations with people. And everyone's trying to like speed run through those conversations because they have like half an hour. Versus Camp Mograph, it's at your leisure. You can choose to have conversations or not. So for me, it's just trying to get a feel of like, what are the different events? What are the different feels and flows and all that other stuff? And overall, which ones will be the most beneficial for me at a particular state in my life, basically.
It also depends too. Are you business to business or do you work with motion studios? Because then it makes more sense to go to more motion conferences if you do more motion studios. You still want your support too. Like I actually gave a presentation about this exactly on how to network. But I had a conversation with Jags, and Jags can't make it to SIGGRAPH because he's going to be at Comic-Con because it's that same week. And because he gets a lot more clients going to Comic-Con because he does a tabletop game motion. So yeah, it really kind of depends on who your audience is, what your goals are. But I think for a new motion designer, if you can make it to a motion conference like camp, yeah, that's where you're going to build a lot more of your base, your support, and get a lot of advice from people that have been where you're at. So I think camp is really great.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that too. I do a lot of direct client work, and I was not doing much of that biz dev at NAB this year. It just, I don't know. It just didn't feel right, honestly. Like just the environment, it wasn't, I didn't feel comfortable like pitching my services this year, if that, and maybe that kind of gives you a little deeper look into why I wasn't so excited about it maybe. But what I was going to say too, is even if you do direct to client work and you don't do studio agency work, talking to everyone who does that work or, you know, has more reps in this industry than you have, and reps is in like jobs and, you know, not actual reps, but that's where the value is going to come. You're going to get all these tips and tricks and little shortcuts that might've taken you, you know, five projects direct to client to fucking figure out, but I can tell you all my pain points and that's going to get you way up to speed before you have to deal with all the shit I've dealt with and mistakes I've done, you know? And so like, I just think the value of talking with other creatives and other owners are great. And not only that, I would also say this, in the motion conference sphere, right? Like your Dash Bash, your camps, and you have people like, you know, we have Erin Starofsky coming this year and she nice. Loves coming to camp because she also sees it as like a recruitment thing of like getting to know all these artists and wow, okay, this person seems really great. Their work seems great. Let's maybe try to work something here, you know? So you just never know who's in those motion crowds as well. And I don't know, just I'm more about the community events rather than like the sales.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say the majority of the freelancers I use are from the MoGraph and MDA and like Camp MoGraph Dash Bash group, basically, in terms of what I use.
Some of my favorite people too that I've met at these conferences, like Alex and I had a really great conversation. We were drawing with Caitlin's still life drawing thing. That was fun, hanging out with crayons, chatting with Alex. EJ, meeting you at Dash Bash, like that was awesome. Cons meeting, you know, hanging out with Cons before Camp MoGraph last year, and grabbing a beer, like that was. It's amazing who you meet, and you never know who is going to be like your new best friend kind of thing in the motion world. It's fantastic. Cons, do you want to jump in? Sorry, your hand's up up for a while.
Yeah, I didn't drink a beer because I don't drink, but that's cool.
I drank like two. I drank for the both of us.
Yeah, no, I think everything that you guys mentioned is super valid, and especially agree with like just thinking about like where you're at and like what's important to you and like whether you're going to meet a bunch of motion people. I think there's a huge value to just connecting with people, making friends, like even to like share an Airbnb at the next conference with or whatever, right? But
hotels are expensive.
Yeah. But also like, you know, not like there's like an actual hierarchy, but just like with any specific topic, it's like, if somebody knows a little bit more than you, it's like that rubs off on you. And then also like, if you know about a little bit more than somebody else about a specific topic, it's like, they're now kind of like looking up to you to like, where, you know, you potentially are creating collaboration avenues and stuff. Right. But then also like when you're going to, potentially like places where you might be meeting clientele, I think that's really important as well. And for me, like I was saying, I just wanted to point out too, like with my story about like why it was important for me to network, like I live in the middle of nowhere. I live in the woods. So it's like, for me, it's almost like this revamp to just like every Monday I jump in here and I remember that like, oh, the industry is alive and well a little bit, like, and like, oh, I'm not just out here doing this on my own. I think it was a really cool thing to go to NAB to just see like, oh, everybody's still doing shit, you know. I'm not just like out in the woods and, you know, the world around me is like crumbling as AI is taking over or whatever.
I agree. I didn't want to wait till camp to see my friends. So that's why I wanted to go to NAB, because I knew everyone was going to that. Although it's just now there's so many different conferences, it's kind of hard for me. You have to pick and choose because they're kind of pricey. You can't go to all of them. I mean, if I could, I would. That'd be amazing. I haven't been to Half Res yet. And then Making Midwest is coming up 2 weeks or a week, something like that, which is cool. I know some people that are going there. Mothers of MoGraph is having a really awesome panel for that. So excited to see what that conference is, because I hadn't heard of it before this year. And so I don't even know what the size of that is, but I know Jenny, you're going, I don't know if Jenny, you know, like the size of the conference or if you have any tips on that.
I don't know what the size is. They're doing a lot of great workshops as well, though. So that's really interesting. And yeah, Mothers of Mongrove is going to be there. So that's, you know, the reason to come.
Yeah, with the new merch.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I love it. Cameron, jump on in.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, like, this call has been really eye-opening. Like, I've been in this industry since like 2015, maybe 2014, and I've never been to any of these conferences because it never really felt like the right vibe. And because there wasn't things like Camp Mograph and Dash Bash, and I didn't even go to those things because I thought that they were going to be like those other kinds of you know, those other kinds of events. And it's really eye-opening to see how people have, you know, just taken note of that, like, you know, like Mark said, and to create these, you know, to create these, you know, these groups that are more intimate, and we can really talk about real things, which is really, it's so important because, you know, because like there's, you know, no matter what industry you're in, it can really get clicky and cutthroat really fast, and people get just like pushed out, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not in that right crowd. And I just really, my hat's off to people like Jenny and Mark and, you know, the people who are running Dash Bash, because I didn't know that those communities were like that. And mm-hmm. it really gives me hope. It really gives me hope. So, you know, and thank you to Jenny and Mark and you, Jen, for, you know, because, you know, because you've always been like this really positive and bold voice. And and we haven't really known each other that much, but even when I first started to interact with you a little bit, I could tell that you were different. So
thanks. I laugh to keep from crying.
And Monday morning, I haven't, you know, like I started to come into Monday morning. I tried a few years ago, but I can see these changes now. And I just think they're really great. So thank you, everybody.
That's a great thing about having this community. Like it's community led. Like that's what I love about Mark so much. Like when I first met Mark, it was, at a bar in Colorado, in Oregon before Camp Mograph. I got invited out, and I'm so glad I did that because then I actually got to meet Mark and Dave and Matt and Scott and Jags before I even went to camp. So I felt like I had a nice, so if you ever get a chance to go to a conference, consider going a few days ahead because there's always events ahead of time. It's kind of like a no pressure situation. So you don't feel like it's as intimidating as the conference or the meetup or wherever you're going itself. If you can kind of get into that, you know, in the real world situation, yeah. EJ always has a beer crawl, you know?
Yeah. It's like a lot of a lot of groups might say that they're, you know, quote unquote community minded, but they're really not. It really just depends on the intentions of the person who's starting it. And I can tell that people like Mark and Jenny, you know, you have this different kind of mindset that that is just so needed in the world. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's a serving. It's a really nice, like, it's giving back, but serving the community in the best way possible, being inclusive. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Jenny, do you want to continue that thought? And then we'll get to Alex.
So, yeah, I mean, I think just to sort of like rehash kind of what Cameron was saying, I mean, I think these events are so great. And I haven't gone to a lot of them pre like the last year or two, and when I started going, and specifically when I went to Dash Bash, just the connections that you make with people are like, it's, there's such a community around motion graphics, and like having these events that are so community focused are really beneficial. And although a lot of my work is direct to client, you know, having the opportunity to mingle with like the rest of the community and make these like amazing connections and put a face to the social media and the emails and stuff like that. And having like a real connection is so invaluable. And having all these communities pop up, and I don't think that it's like, it makes sense to me why when we started Mothers of Mograph, why it blew up, because there was such like a need for like these communities, like specific communities where you can really truly be yourself. And I think, you know, Camp Mograph, and I've spoken to Mark about this like multiple times. Like I was just like, I'm like, I don't think I can come. Like it's like camping and whatever. And everybody keeps on telling me like, no, you have to come. So I'm like, I'm coming this year. And I'm like, I made sure that I was on the list. And I'm so excited about that. And all I hear is like these, amazing connections that have been happening. And like, you know, as you also know, Jen, like I would never have met Casey had I not gone to Dash Bash and met you. So like, yeah, you know, it's all these like full circle moments. And I would never have had the opportunity to talk with Marin, which I actually met her like through Camp Mograph. Cause I said, through Monday meeting. Cause I kind of like mentioned something about Dash Bash here. And then she connected with me and now she's coming and she's going to be on the panel. And it's like, you know, these type of connections happen in real life. It's really hard to make them online. So, and Cameron, thank you for joining us. I love having you, everybody in Mothers of Mograph.
Yeah. Mothers of Mograph. It's just so inspiring to see how far you guys have grown too. Like,
thank you.
It's every day. I'm just so proud.
<Thank you.
laughs> And I'm so, so happy you're coming to camp too, because it'd be the only time for me to see you this year in person. So I'm
for sure. Yeah, no, it's good. I'm so excited. Like I mean, Mark's saying this in the chat, like, you know, you pour your heart and love into something that like, it has no benefit other than just like, it's something that I love to do. And it's just great that we have the opportunities to make things like this and people that appreciate it and follow along. So
for sure. And second shout out to Marin. I met Marin through Clubhouse back in the day when we were during the pandemic. And she was one of the strong female voices on Clubhouse in the motion community between Marin and Haley. I felt so connected. So it was just really cool seeing Marin like for the first time at Dash Bash and seeing her get involved with Mothers of Mograph. Like it's just nice to see all these connections too, where it's like people in my different motion worlds are now coming together and creating things. It's so cool. It's fun to be a part of. I love being part of origin stories too. So that just makes me super happy. Alex, jump on in.
Yeah. I remember, you know, when I was hearing about the, about this talk, you know, about this topic, it was like, well, I never went to NAB. I'm curious to what other people will, you know, have to say about it. But it got me thinking, going like, well, you know, when you go to a networking meetup, it just feels like there's all this, you know, the golden opportunity is like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to meet that person. Like, you know, that's like the story you're telling yourself, but it almost feels like you there's like, if you can let go of that and just sort of have it be like, just go be in a community and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You can hope for that for sure. Like, I guess that really just to be get straight to the point, I remember when I went to SIGGRAPH just as soon as I graduated in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anything really about motion design or motion graphics at the time. I knew it wasn't my career at the time. I was doing more of like electronic, like Arduino, just a little bit of everything, and you know, like digital sculptures type stuff.
Cool.
And I remember they had a digital arts community at SIGGRAPH, but it felt like it was like really small compared to the rest of CG. And here's a talk about why there's no clipping happening in Final Fantasy, whatever one that came out at the time, you know, games and all that stuff. But I just feel like more of the small groups that you can meet, it seems like, if you know, the best thing I think that you can do is to just like be ready to like just meet just like bridge these smaller groups or something like that. That almost seems like the best thing that can happen. And I'm not really like much of an event goer. I mean, I love being myself in person and stuff like that, but it almost seems like those small groups are maybe the way to go, you know? I haven't really done a whole lot of conferences, but yeah.
I agree. I feel like, yeah, there is something weird and tacky about just like going, assuming you're going to get a job. Like, I know you want to make connections, and I think that's something. Also in my presentation, I swear I'm putting this presentation on YouTube. I get people asking about it. But I talk about too, about like your elevator speech really should not be like, this is why you should hire me. It should be like, this is who I am. And this is why I'm cool. And this is why maybe I'm qualified, but mostly it's keeping it story-based, because people are much more likely to engage with you if they know your story. So being able to tighten up your background a little bit and your story and what makes you exciting, you're going to get a lot farther. You're going to make a deeper connection than just like, I need a job. I could do these skills. It's the same thing with like soft skills, right? It's like more people get hired because of soft skills than they do the actual technical stuff. Because most of us could just go on YouTube and learn the technical stuff, but learning how to communicate effectively and actually connect with your clients, that's, you know, you want to be building those connections, because that's where the stability is fostering those connections.
Yeah. And I think that was really the best thing about Camp MoGraph.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm so excited. So excited for camp.
I've never been to Chicago. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Gonna get a deep dish.
I want to get a Chicago dog. It's my favorite hot dog.
I'm going to get there early just for all that stuff. It's going to be great.
That's going to be super fun. Also, with SIGGRAPH too, I haven't been to SIGGRAPH since 2007, so I'm excited to see how it's changed. And because it's in Denver, like, we have a decent motion crew here, and we're going to blow it up. We're going to have all kinds of events. It's going to be really fun. So, sorry, not sorry. I'm probably going to peer pressure a lot of you into going to SIGGRAPH, so get ready for that.
It's going to be when is it this year, sorry?
End of July, beginning of August.
Okay,
That weekend that spends
I'll
that.
Look it up.
It's going to be really fun. Plus, the more people that come, like, you guys can all like share Airbnbs and hotels and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. Okay, Mo, jump on in.
Of course, I got to go last. it's just what I do.
What you do.
Just going to say, in talking about the getting a job thing and the networking thing, which I've tried to not use that word anymore. I've been trying to use the word, you know, forming connections with people that you don't have yet. And if anyone who's on the call went to Dash Bash last year, because Jen, I know you went, the very first thing that Max said was, don't try to get a job, just try to make friends. And I was totally guilty of that too. I went down there thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, give out my reel and this, that, and the other. And the opposite happened, in which I got to hang out with you and like a whole bunch of other people. And I felt so felt so gratifyingly connective to do that. And even here, you know, there are a lot of local meetups here, but which are cool, but I think a lot of people have the same mindset where it's very transactional. So just a note about, you know, if or when you do these things, try to get away from the transactional mindset and just be a person and be human, because everyone has their struggles and they're there to just connect with other folks. At least that's what I found. So
yeah. And you can kind of tell when someone is like just after a job too. It gets real tacky and weird. You're just like, oh, uncomfortable. I want to know about your hobbies or your pets. Cameron, jump on in and then we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. So what you were saying about, you know, just like tell your story. I was just thinking, and I put it in the chat that it might be a good idea to do a call on that, so we could like practice. Because there are some things that you probably shouldn't say. There are some things that, that, you know, because there is such a thing as like oversharing, you know, especially when you're first meeting someone. So like, how can you share your story and be authentic, but really kind of like have a good feel to, you know, like know where that boundary is. And so like, that might be a good thing to do on a call. On one of these calls,
and practice your elevator speech, but like keep it to your story.
You know, and people can give you feedback, because like, you know, like I don't know about everyone else, but there, like, you know, there are some things that I'm into that, like, I don't know if people in the MoGraph industry would, you know, yeah, like, I just don't know how they would react to it. And so I tend to not talk about it, but maybe I should talk about it, you know, like maybe that's something I need to get over.
You know? I mean, I love unique backstories. Like Natasha used to do jewelry design. Like that's so cool. And that sets her apart than any other 3D motion person that I know. And so it's like having sort of like your unique piece is definitely going to make you stand out and make you more memorable, especially at networking events. I do like that idea too, doing like elevator speeches. We could even do that as part of our Patreon. We can offer one-on-one coaching with that for a few of us that have been doing it for a while. I think that would be kind of a cool little thing that we can build into our Patreon as well. I'm not sure how it would work on a call with everybody. We'd have to have some signups ahead of time to make sure that, you know, could fill that hour out, but I think that's a good idea. Mark, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I'll try to find a video that I saw somewhat recently on the YouTubes. But it is talking about going to conferences, whatever, talking with people, like kind of trying to make the best use of that time. And essentially, it's speaking to like introverts and whatever. But the overarching theme of it is like, go to these events just to have fun.
Yeah, just have fun.
No other preconceived notion, no agenda, no anything. Just go and have fun. Because if you have fun and you're enjoying yourself, just your body language alone, people will want to like interact with you, like talk or whatever. And mm-hmm. I found that, you know, I guess maybe I do this just naturally, but like, yeah, I just want to go and like hang out. And like, I never really have an agenda of what I'm trying to accomplish for it. And it mm-hmm. always has seemed to work out, because you do end up just getting into longer conversations with people because you're anxious to hear, or you're anxious to share your knowledge, or whatever it may be. So I think if you're just there to have fun and that's the only kind of agenda you have, you're going to mm-hmm. end up meeting a lot of great people. And you're also going to just be approachable for maybe others that are feeling that kind of shy vibe as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you're an introvert and you're going to these conferences, and I highly recommend a buddy system if you could get a buddy to go with you, because it's a lot easier and you're a lot more likely to be out of your shell if you have a friend next to you. Otherwise, make that a side quest for you. Like, look for the person who also looks like they're by themselves and they're getting a little bit of a deer in headlight situation, and go introduce yourself to that person. Because I was that person, and I always feel like I'm getting adopted by extroverts. So I love that. So I try to do that whenever I'm at conferences, because the motion community is mostly introverted. So it's nice when you could be that person that you needed when you first started. Cameron, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah. So like, I'm a really huge fan of Matthew McConaughey, not so much his movies, but he's become like this, like guru, like wisdom guy in the last couple of years because of the book that he wrote a few years ago called Green Lights. And like, he's done a lot of interviews, and I was just watching one of his interviews yesterday, and he talks about when he first got his first agent, and he talks about like, you know, so he had a friend that was like helping him, and he first asked his friend to get him an agent, and his friend told him, no, you need it too much now. And he knew that the agents were going to smell that need. And he said, mm-hmm. you know, if this town smells needy, you're done. Right. And so he told him to like go to Europe and go backpacking. And so he did that. He went with three of his friends, and they went like motorcycle, you know, they went cycling in Europe, and they had this great time. And he had like all these memories. He hadn't thought about getting a job or an agent for a month. And then he goes back to LA, and then his friend told him, okay, now you're ready. And he could tell that like his state of mind was just so different at that time than it was 5 weeks ago, when he was really anxious. And he talks about like, if he had gotten the meeting before, he would have just like been too anxious. He would have leaned in too far. He would have like been outside of himself. But mm-hmm. but at this, you know, but now like he was more expanded and he was just more relaxed and he was able to actually be in a place where he could convince them that they needed him more than he needed them. I mean, right. like that's Matthew McConaughey, but like, that's the idea.
No, I love that. It's shifting your perspective because yeah, I agree. You can smell a mile away when someone's posting on LinkedIn, like, hey, I'm available for work. It yeah. just comes across as like, please get me a job. Oh my God. I can't pay my rent. So you have to be really careful of that. I always leave my open to work, like little thing on my LinkedIn thing, but I try not to post. I'll post maybe availability, but it's usually a month or two ahead of my actual availability. Cause if I ever get to the point where it's, I need a job now, you know, that's hard. That's hard to like shift your mindset to make it feel like, oh, well, I guess I have a slot open if you're interested, when really your entire month's open and you're freaking the hell out. So yeah, it'd be great if we could all go backpacking right before to shift our mindset. But finding those the pockets of time to think 3 months ahead, especially if you're a freelancer, is a good idea. Always be networking. I don't care if you have a full-time job that seems really solid. Always be networking because you never know. There's that false sense of stability. And it's going to give you a lot more confidence. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. Thanks. This has been a great call. I'm really excited for everybody that participated. Thank you so much for joining. You can also find us on all the social media platforms, almost. We're going to get LinkedIn and Instagram going this week, we promise. But you can find us on social media by searching Monday Meeting. Audio for the calls are posted each week on your podcast app of choice or available with show notes at mondaymeeting.org. If you love this meeting as much as I do, please share it, you know, post, especially when we get our LinkedIn up and our Instagram. We would love that support for you guys to just like post as much as possible repost, retweet, you know, whatever you can do. We love it. We love having a full call here. So have a great week, everybody. We will see you next time.